You know those moments in life that get so burned into your memory, like they're 3D multi-sensory memories, like you can remember what it smelled like and what the weather was like and where the sun was and all that kind of stuff, where you were sitting, all that. One of those for me was pretty unexpected at the time. This was about, I don't know how many years ago, a while ago. I was in a van riding to a conference in Chicago, and it was me and it was these three married people and then this single girl going to this conference. It was 6 hours away, and by like hour five of the drive, we had exhausted all of the topics. No more topics. Scraping the bottom. The guy driving, his wife was about to have a baby, and so he starts talking about baby names. I'm 23. I'm not dating anybody even, and I'm like, this is awful. This is terrible. My life has reached a new low. Can we talk about something more interesting, like spores of mold, or I don't know, something? But I didn't say that out loud. I wanted to contribute, and so I offered the only thing I had to offer to the conversation. I said, "Well, I don't know why. I've just always thought if I ever had a son, I would name him Ben." And then this girl sitting next to me, she gets this like, "Huh? I said, what'd you say?" I was like, "If I had a son, I'd name him Ben." She's like, "That's weird. I always thought if I had a son, I would name him Ben." I was like, "Oh, okay." Then she says, but I've always thought if I had a daughter, I would name her Gracie. And then I did the jaw hang open thing and was like, what did you say? It's like, I've always thought if I had a daughter, I would name her Gracie too. So I married that girl. I did. That's a true story, 100% true. And now we have a son named Ben, and we have a daughter named Gracie. Is that crazy? We also have a son named Eli, and he doesn't know this story, and I just would really love if you didn't tell him. So that would be great. I will send you the counseling bill if you do. I will, seriously. There's something about a name that we just recognize. It's meaningful, isn't it? There's power. There's power in a name. But there's also pain when you don't really feel like you have one, right? And I don't mean this kind of name. Again, I'm not talking this kind of name. I don't mean first name or a last name or a middle name, not that. By the way, have you ever met somebody without a middle name? You ever met somebody? Every time I do, I have the same thought in my head. I'm like, man, how lazy are your parents? Like, a middle name. If you don't have kids yet, you need to know this. A middle name, it never gets used. You don't have to ace it. It does not need A-level effort. Just a solid C-minus will do. You can just Google, like, mediocre names and then close your eyes and pick one and move on with your life. There's no excuses. There's really none. No, but I'm not talking about those kind of names. Because you can have a name on a driver's license or a birth certificate or a student ID, and you can still feel nameless. Or worse, like you're named something awful. The Bible talks a lot about names. A lot of them have to do with Jesus. You might know the name Jesus, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Well, he actually has 198 different names in the Bible. Did you know that? 198 different names, not adjectives that describe him, names. 198 different ones, and they're really good. It's like they're not middle names. They're like grade A level best names out there. He's got lots of them. One of them is he is the Prince of peace in the Bible. The Bible also says that he is the creator. It describes him as the deliverer, the one who comes and rescues everybody. And John, he's called the good shepherd. It's also said that he is the heir to the riches and the throne of God. He's described as the holy one. Another place, this is one of my favorites, he's called the lion of Judah. I love the imagery of a lion because it makes me think of something incredibly, incredibly powerful. He's also described as the firstborn, the very image of God. He's also called the just one, the one who is the measuring stick of truth. He's called the light of the world. He's described as the mighty one. In another place, he's called the rock of salvation. Not the rock. The rock of salvation. He's also the redeemer. He is, in another place in John, he's called the way, the truth, and the life. And the summation of all of it, the kicker, is he gets to be the son of God. He's the Son of God. It's this amazing set of names. It's incredible. And this is like, the best names ever. You and I, we have our set of names. It's just not, there we go, quite as good as those. But those are the names of Jesus. But the Bible doesn't stop there. If you were to do some word searches, you'd find there are 114 references to salvation in the Bible. That's because salvation is a really big deal, so there's a lot of them. There are 458 references to salvation in the Bible. That's because it's 458 references to faith in the Bible. I think the reason is because faith is what produces salvation in people. But did you know this? There are 944 references to names in the Bible. More than faith and salvation combined. Is that crazy? Like, why? Why waste all that time on names? It's frustrating to me because I don't know how to pronounce any of them. So I'm just like, so-and-so went to so-and-so, whatever, you know? It's strange. Well, the reason is in the Bible. And before I read you the verse, I'll tell you kind of what it says. It says the reason it focuses so much on names is because a good name, these are great names, just a good name. a good name is actually the thing that you and I want the most, more than anything. And therefore, you and I, by default, will spend most of our lives spending our energy trying to get a good name. This is what Proverbs 22:1 says. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Some of you are like, that's crazy. I will sell you my name right now for money. Right now. Silver, gold, doesn't matter. I'll take it. Well, listen, slow down. Think about it. What would you buy with the money? You know, better house? Nicer car? Gym membership to the right place? A Peloton? Well, those look pretty cool. What would you buy? Well, it turns out what you would probably do with the money is what most people throughout all history have done with money, which is try to make a name for themselves. You'd use money to try to make a name. Making a name. That's the game, right? That's the game. It sounds so noble, doesn't it? It's like so American. I just imagine Clint Eastwood saying it like, make a name for yourself. You know, I have a high voice. It didn't really work out so well for me. But it's just in there, right? Be whoever you want to be. Get out there. It's what we say to college graduates and high school graduates and people on their first day at a new job. Get in there. Make a name for yourself. It sounds so noble. I want you to know it's exhausting. It's a terrible idea. Don't do it. Because here's the thing. For starters, when you make a name for yourself, it's up to you to keep that name. No one's going to keep it for you. And I don't know if you've noticed this yet about life, but at 37 years old, I'm starting to pick up on some patterns. And one of them is this. Very little in life is permanent. It all withers and fades way faster than I want it to, you know? So you can earn the name Rich if you want. That's the name you want to go for. You can go after Rich. But every day after earning that name, you'll spend worried about staying that way. Check the stock market, check the bank account. How are things going? What are the futures look like? How can I hold on to this? How can I grow it? How can I make it do more? Is someone going to take it from me? Or you could Pinterest your way into the name Trendy if you really wanted to. However, your perfectly manicured apartment will over and over and over and over again go out of style. So you better go to Target. Get some of that Chip and JoJo Magnolia Home stuff. It's pretty cool. I'm telling you. Better go get it. It'll be cool for a couple years, probably, maybe. I don't know. You could also try to party your way into the name Life of the Party if you wanted, but one day when you're 25 or 35 or 45, you'll wake up and you'll realize the party ended and you're the only one left. Time to go find a new party. Time to go find a new party. I don't know what the name is for yourself that you've been trying to make. I don't know what it is, you know, but I know you've been trying to make one because we wish we had this set, didn't we? We wish. We don't, but we just don't. We don't, and so we're just going to make one for ourselves. We're just going to make a better one, right? We'll make something. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's one of these. Maybe it's the funny one. Maybe it's just plain old popular. Maybe it's successful. Maybe it's future ABM or CEO in waiting. Maybe it's the perfect dad. Maybe it's the perfect wife. Maybe it's the favorite grandma. Maybe it's Miss Always Swiped Right. Is that it? I don't know what it is. But you're trying to make one, right? Listen, I want you to know it's an exhausting and terrible idea to make a name for yourself. But I do want to mention that you and I do it for totally logical reasons. We're not crazy. We're not stupid. We do it for really logical reasons. See, the reason that we spend so much time on this set of names out here, perfectly curating it and adding the missing ones and maintaining them, the reason we spend so much time on these names out here is because we've got another set of names, don't we? Closer. The ones in here. By the way, don't worry. I have a shirt on underneath. Some of you got very worried and others got very excited. I assume more people got excited than worried because that makes me feel better about myself, but I do have a shirt on. We've got more than the set of names on the outside, and I think the reason that we work on it so hard is because we've got the set on the inside that we keep covered up and we keep hidden, you know? The ones we don't talk about. We don't want anybody to know what they are, and maybe they were said out loud to us at some point, or maybe they weren't, but they didn't really have to be, right? My dad is 5'6", and no more. My mom is 5'1". To be clear, they're in their 60s. That was at the height. They're probably shorter than that now. Sorry, Mom and Dad, you're shorter than that. But that, learning that, you may be unsurprised to learn that I was always the smallest kid in my class at school. Always the smallest kid in my class. But to make it better, I did have asthma. So that really helped. That really helped the situation a lot. There was this moment where those two things kind of collided in like this childhood tragedy, you know, like just into each other. It was fifth grade, at least at my school, Bellbrook Elementary School, Sugar Creek Elementary. Back in the day, they'd have like this band fair day where they bring in all the band instruments, and then you could walk through the cafeteria and you'd pick out the instrument you wanted to play. And so I go with my mom, and you know, we get there, and she's like, you know, honey, what do you think you want to play? And I knew, like I thought about it. Answer prepared. Trumpet. I want to play trumpet. I have no idea why. Trumpet, you know. So I say, she asked me that, what do you want to play? Trumpet. And she's like, oh, honey, you know, you don't really have the lung power for trumpet because of asthma. And so why don't we pick something else? I was like, okay. How about drums? And she's like, yeah, there's a lot of kids already over there by the drums. Let's do something different. You know, no one's by the trombones. Let's play trombone. So, like, we're going to get a trombone. I don't know why trombone's different than trumpet, by the way, from a lung power, but whatever. You know, we went with it. So I get the trombone, get my first lesson, and I pretty quickly learned something very important to me in the trombone in our relationship. Is that the trombone has 7 positions, and this, like, slide bar deal. That's how you play the notes, 7 of them. So you sit down, and the teacher's like, okay, everybody, you know, put your mouth in the mouthpiece, and then hand here, and that's 1, and then 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's about where I realized I had a real big problem. Real big problem. Because there were more notes, but there wasn't more arm. It had stopped. So at 6, I was like, I could try and shove it out there with my fingertips, and I'm like, you know, and then 7 was like, throw it out there, come back, and then grab it. And I played trombone for 3 weeks, so didn't last. Here's the thing about that, you know, nobody ever had to tell me that my name was weak. I just kind of picked up on it, just kind of knew it, and it was a name I wore in here for a real long time. I kept it covered up. Better and worse. In high school, I weighed 119 pounds, soaking wet. I wrestled. And you remember in high school, like the wrestlers who would be cutting weight, so they're like putting on trash bags and running laps and like extra sweatshirts and spitting into cups and all that stuff? That was not me. I was chugging water trying to weigh enough to wrestle. That's what I was doing in the corner. So by the time I got to college, I was like, I gotta do something different here. And so I decided that I would make a new name for myself that was better than weak. I decided I would become very, very strong. And so I joined something called the Barbell Club at my college, Georgia Tech, and I bulked up. The Barbell Club was awesome, by the way. It was like the old weights from the football team, and they were in the basement of one of the oldest buildings on campus. It was incredible. It smelled like sweat and mushrooms down there. It was awesome. Spent a lot of time there. Couldn't afford protein powder, so I ate cans of raw tuna just straight out of the can. Little Texas Pete's hot sauce will make that go down a lot better. It really will. That's a pro tip for you. I tried to earn this name strong, and it worked. I mean, I got jacked. I was like, it was huge. It was awesome. Kinda. It was kinda awesome. It kinda worked. There was this girl I dated my senior year of college, and we were just in those moments where things just weren't going right. I was mad at her, and she was mad at me, and so we did what you do when you're upset at each other in college. We went to Chick-fil-A to talk it out. That's what we did. Went to Chick-fil-A. So we're sitting there in the booth, and I'm like leaning forward, you know, talking to her, and she's like, I don't like that you blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I don't like that you blah, 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 whatever. And then she just stops mid-sentence at one point. And she goes, I'm sorry, your biceps are so big, they are distracting. And I was like, all right. all righty, you know? I think we worked this out just right now. It's like, she's going to come across me right now. We're making out in the middle of Chick-fil-A. God's chicken. Close your eyes, everybody, you know? It's going to be awesome. She kept talking, and it's not exactly what she meant. She's like, your biceps are so big. I mean, it is weird. It is weird. And I was like, oh, crap. Crap. I worked so hard on strong. But strong had its own set of problems. It didn't work. I literally sweated for it. It didn't work. Listen, I don't know what your version of that is, but I'm pretty sure you have one. So here's what I want you to do. Get out one of the name tags you got when you walked in. And if you're watching online, you don't have a name tag, don't worry. Just grab some paper. You're going to need two pieces and something to write with. Get out that first one. And I want you to write down that name and then pass it to your neighbor. And then we're just going to keep passing. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. We're really not going to do that. We're not. Not at all. But this is really important. I want you to, if you've got it already in your head, write it down. If not, I'm going to spend a minute here helping you think of it. You got to write it down, and when you do, you can stuff it right back into your pocket. You can put it where no one sees it. Put it back in hiding. That's where it is anyway. It's fine. Just put it back there. But to help you think about what that word might be for you, and again, when it comes to mind, just write it down. I want you to think about where it maybe came from for you. Where did it come from? Maybe it was from a supposed friend who let you down. Maybe it was from a parent who told you you were a disappointment. Maybe it's from a father who you never even knew. Maybe it's the divorce that you got last year. Maybe it's the mistake you made last night. Maybe it's the part of your body that you just hate. I don't know what it is, but I do know what it sounds like. I know what it sounds like. Maybe it's dumb. If it's that, write it down. Maybe it's ugly. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's not enough. Maybe it's accident, mistake, unwanted, unlovable, friend of no one. Maybe it's screw up. Maybe it's worthless. Maybe it's dirty. Whatever it is, write it down. This is important. Write it down. And what you do, you just put it back in your pocket. Put it back in your pocket. Back in hiding. My question for you is, do you want a better name? Do you want a better name? You want a good set of names? Proverbs 21:2, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. I'm betting that you do. I know that I did. Listen, the reason I'm here, the reason we're doing all this name tag stuff is for one reason. It's to tell you that getting a better set of names is easier than you think. It is easier than you think. And if you want, it's going to be up to you. If you want, you can walk out of here in 21 minutes and 6 seconds, and you can have that name, at least the beginning of it, I promise. You can start to lean in and start to discover what that name is. Because here's the thing. It's your choice. It's your choice. In life, you will do one of two things. There are only two options. You can make a name for yourself, or you can take the name that God has already made for you. You can take, did you get that? Make a name for yourself, take the name that God has made for you. And I'm hoping, man, I am hoping that you step into it. I'm hoping you cross that line, you know. In the Bible, God does lots of stuff. You may be going like, God made a name for me? God has a name? Yeah, he has a name. There's one thing God never does in the entire Bible. I've read it cover to cover again and again and never found this. There's not a scene where God walks up to somebody and he goes, hey, oh, crap, don't tell me. Oh, man, this is awkward. Oh, Kevin, Kyle, I don't know, Guy, come here, Guy. That never happens. Never happens. My dad calls everybody Duke. He can't remember names, so he just calls everybody Duke. You know, like I'd have friends come over when I was little. Kid would walk in, and my dad would be like, hey, what's up, Duke? I'd be like, Dad, that's Kevin. You know him. He's been here for 8 years, you know? What's up, Duke? God's the opposite. He has a name for everybody. He has a name for you. He has a name for you. Isaiah 45:3 says, I will give you hidden treasures. Does that sound like silver and gold, like we just read about in Proverbs? I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord. You may know his name. The God of Israel who summons you by name. By name. About a decade ago, I stopped trying to make a name for myself. I quit. And I decided I was going to take the name God had for me. And I'm telling you, it's better than silver or gold. It's better. You can't buy it from me. You can't. And I'm hoping today you make the same decision to stop making a name for yourself and instead take the name that God has for you. How? Great, preacher boy. How? It's easier than you think, and I'd love to walk you in that direction if you'll let me. And it starts with this. It starts with this passage from John. This is one of many places in the Bible that present this idea, but we're going to read this one together. This is John 1, 12 through 13. You may have seen it before even. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Step one, or go no farther, is you must believe that he exists and that his name is great. Got to believe that. And get this, when you do, as this verse says, you get the right to become a child of God. A child of God. What does that mean? That means this one, Son of God, you get that. Son of God. Daughter of God. It means you get that name. It works just like it works, in the physical world. The child takes the parent's name. You get the name of God. You get the name of God. Now, what does that mean, though? Son of God. That's pretty up. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, if you're having a hard time, or maybe you've had a hard time before, maybe it's not the first time you've heard someone talk about this, I want to help you. Because, and also let you know, you're not alone. You're not alone. This is what I think most of the New Testament is written about. It's early believers in Jesus who are trying to wrap their heads around this ridiculous promise of being a child of God, a son, a daughter of God, and they don't get it. And so Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, spends loads of times on this. It's what the entire book of Romans is about, and it's what Galatians is about. And I want to spend a little bit of time in Galatians, because I think he's very pointed, and you can see it in Galatians. This idea of becoming a son of God, of taking the name of God, is not a surface thing. It's not a name tag. It's not a thing you can take on and just take right back off. It doesn't wither. It doesn't fade. It's total transformation, inside and out. This is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. That's anybody who believes in Jesus. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, in here. This one has to go. He lives in here. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He lives in you. But not just that. He also covers you. This is the next chapter. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. He is in you, and you are clothed with him. He's on the inside, and he's on the outside. That means when God looks at you, whether he looks at your outside or whether he stares at your heart, do you know what he sees? This. He sees this. He sees his son. And when he looks at you, he says, you're these things. I see truth in you. I see goodness in you. I think you're mighty. I see power. You're my son. You have the ability to bring redemption to the world. All this stuff is how he sees you. All that becomes yours. Now, the first time I heard someone unpack this for me, it just seemed too good to be true, you know? It's like, no, surely, this, I thought I had to work for names. I thought I had to earn them. I kind of thought the Christian life actually was about trying to get the name, not these good ones necessarily, but the ones that were like, you know, not that bad. I thought that would be a good name to have. Passable. That if God just thought I was passable, like I would really, I'd really be getting somewhere and doing something. But it's not. God has this incredible set of names for you. Incredible. What I had to do, by the way, when I dug into this, is I had to ask God to help me see me the way that he does. I said, God, would you just help me see me the way that you see me? If this is true, I need to see it. If you want to do that, you can do it. You can ask God that. Say, God, help me see what you see. When you do, I want to let you know, you're going to have to use a tool that you've probably discounted at this point in your life if you're an adult. See, adults, we like to discount this thing called the imagination. Because we think that imagination and imaginary are synonymous. They're the same thing. They are not. They're not the same thing. I can prove it to you right now. Imagine your car in your head. Picture your car. Okay, got it? Is your car now imaginary? No, of course not. Of course not. But what you did is you used a tool, your imagination, to access a reality that was otherwise off limits to you. You got to see something you could otherwise not see. It didn't make it not real. But you got to use your imagination. I had this picture when I got open to that idea. God gave me this picture in my mind. It was this little scene that I got to watch, almost like a movie, you know, from the side. And what I saw was me, and I was standing in a circle of people, and they were all looking at me. And I was covered in rags, and I just kept, like, all my energy was spent trying to, they kept falling off, and it was like, I just was trying to cover myself up, and no matter what I did, they kept falling off. And then this voice yelled, "Stop!" And so I stopped, you know, and when I did, it was like, stop, and then they just kind of fell off. I was like, oh, crap. Sure that I was naked or it was shameful or just awful, whatever, you know, the eyes clenched tight like this. And the voice says, open your eyes. So I did the one eye thing, looked around, and then I looked down. And rather than being naked and ashamed, this may sound goofy to you, I don't care. I was covered in shining chrome knight's armor. And God said, this is who you are. Stop trying to cover it up. You're never going to beat who I say you are. You're never going to make a better name than the one I have for you. You're not. You're not going to make it. And that picture for me, it meant noble. It meant a lot of things. Pure-hearted. Then when God sees me, he says I'm brave, powerful, dangerous in a good way. It meant all those things. You know, God has a good name for you. He does. You have a Father in heaven with a great, great name for you. But I want you to know it's possible to take his name and to take it in vain. It's possible. You've heard of the Ten Commandments? Number three is, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Top three. Don't take his name in vain. And what we've relegated that to is not saying OMG. Sure. Maybe. But listen, when you dig into what those words actually mean, take means to put on. That's what take means, to bear, to put on. And vain means for no reason, to no benefit, for no purpose. This is going, you know what, I like this set, but I'm just going to keep adding to it because these aren't, you know. This is in vain, for nothing. Don't take his name in vain. Take what he says about you. I mentioned those three kids that I have a while back. Lately in our house, I've been kind of captain of bedtime. And bedtime, I don't know if any of the parents have this. We have like a routine, you know, it's like brush your teeth and put on your pajamas and then we say prayers and then get your butts into bed, that kind of thing. Well, some nights I get back from work and I'm like, I'm tired. Like I need the kids to get in bed now, not later, now. And so I will skip things in bedtime. I'll be like, you don't need to brush your teeth. We will buy you dentures. And we'll pay for cab. I don't care. It is fine. Get in bed. Get in bed. Get in bed. You know? But there's one part that I will not skip. I will not skip. That's this part. Every night, my kids are still young. And so get this, they believe what I say about them. Isn't that crazy? They still believe that what I say is true about them. So I'm taking advantage of it. Taking advantage of it. Every night I grab them and I get them down here and I say the same list of things to them. And I customize it for each of them, but I say the same core thing to each of them. Every single night I look in their eyes and I say, hey, listen. Listen, you are good and kind and brave and smart and funny and creative and a leader, and I love you and I'm proud of you and I am for you and I am always on your side. Every night I say that. Every night. Because I know something. I know they're going to leave my house. They're going to walk out into the world, and the world's going to shoot all kinds of other stuff at them. Try to tell them that they're not that. Try to tell them that that's fine, but you need to add to it. Something like that. I don't want that for them. I want them to just believe me, Dad, that what I say about them is true. And you, I don't know if you had a good dad, if you had a bad dad. I don't know, but listen, you have a good dad who says incredible things about you, incredible things about you, if you'll just take them instead of trying to make a name for yourself. We're going to spend the next bit here on that. I want you to get out your second name tag that you got when you walked in here today. Take out your second name tag and your Sharpie. I'm just going to read you what he says about you directly from the Bible. This isn't my words. These are his words to you. And as I do this, my prayer for you, my hope for you, and what I think will happen for you is that there'll be at least one of these words that stands out a little bit to you. You hear it or you see it and you go, that one. Write that one down. And you can write down more than one if you want to. That's totally fine. But when you write down that word, I want you to write down the reference from the Bible where it came from so that you can go back and you can read it, memorize it. And you can start to believe that what God says about you is true. So pens out, name tags out. This is Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It means you're not alone. It means you're saved. You are safe. You're a delight. It means you're loved. One of those stands out, write it down. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. You have a good future. You're going places. You got a role to play. There's purpose for your life. In fact, your life is full of potential. Still. Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. You are not too old. It's not too late. It's part of your name. You're never abandoned. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power towards us who believe. Your life is full of hope. You're rich. You're an heir. And God gives you power, which means that you are powerful. This is Psalm 27:10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. I don't know what your family history was like, but you have a home. You have a good dad. You're loved. You're received. James 1:18. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. You are prized. You are valued. Romans 5:19, for just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, of Jesus, the many will be made righteous. You are righteous, which is a fancy way of saying good enough. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. You're cared for, safe. You are strong. You're righteous. You bring honor to his name. That means you're honorable. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. You are rich. You hear that yet? You have to work for it. You're rich. Colossians 1:22, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Without blemish and free from accusation, you are holy, spotless, pure. John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. You have a good dad. You have a home. Finally, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You're forgiven. You're not condemned. You are free. You are free. You have a good name. I hope you heard something. I hope you wrote one down. I hope one stood out to you. If it didn't, go back through them. Ask God for you to see who he says that you are. I want you to stand up now, if you would, stand up. And I want you to take both of those name tags. Take one in each hand, the bad one from underneath and the good one. One in each hand. We're gonna sing a song, and this song says, I am who you say I am. If you believe that, I want, when we get to that verse, if you believe that, take the bad one, the one that is under here that just feel like is your name, that you keep, take that one and crush it. Crush it. And get rid of it. Get rid of it. And this one this week, put this in your pocket. Carry it with you. It's who you are. It's who God says you are. Let me pray for you. Father, I bless you that you're a good dad. I bless you that you don't take us in as an obligation. You don't take us in because you have to. You don't take us in reluctantly. You take us in and you give us your name. I ask for me, for everybody here, everybody watching, everybody listening, Lord, that you would break in, you'd tell us who you are. We want to say to you that we are who you say we are, God. I am who you say I am. Amen.
In my Father's house, there's a There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Yes, we are.